Hi everybody, hope you're having a great day so far. Before you start today's episode, I just want to give you a small reminder to hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you're listening to today's podcast. And also, if you have the time, if you could feel free to leave us a review, that would help us out tremendously. There are some weird podcast algorithms that are out there. Too scientific for me to comprehend or explain, but it would help us out tremendously if you did that. Thanks for listening to the Northern Nerd Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Hansen Family Chiropractic in Hayward, Wisconsin. They're who I turn to when I do dumb stuff while doing yard work. Last time I was in there was because I tweaked my back when I thought I could pull out this small tree. Saying it now sounds really dumb, but I thought I could pull out this small tree, and I gave it one tug and it wasn't coming out, and I was like, all right, well, I just have to pull a little bit harder. Yanked and heard something pop, and Dr. Ryan was able to get me in and get it fixed in a relatively short amount of time. After being in a lot of pain and then having him work through it, it just made life that much easier, and I'm able to go about my business until I do the next dumb thing while doing yard work. But Dr. Ryan and Dr. Dan there are great, and they work with you to develop natural care plans and discuss life changes to bring you to a place of true health and wellness. And if you're ready to begin your health journey with them, you can call their office to make your first appointment with Dr. Ryan or Dr. Dan, and they're ready to discuss and develop a plan to improve the level of health and wellness you're looking to achieve. So you can give them a call at 715-934-3344. Again, that's 715-934-3344. Dr. Ryan Hansen and today's guest, Kenny Bednarik, both share the same hometown of Rice Lake. And so Ryan's really excited to watch Kenny compete in the Olympics. And also one of Ryan's sons, Lucas, made it to state for the Hayward High School team this year in track. So really, really adamant about all things track and field, and can't wait to watch Kenny in the Olympics. I couldn't have been more excited to have today's guest on the show. He's been somebody that I've been following for quite some time throughout his athletic career, and to have him on the podcast was just a great experience, to say the least. That's probably the understatement of the year there. But to see what he's been able to do, not only in the track realm, but also outside of that as well, and him giving back to the community has just been amazing. And being able to talk with him for the time that I did and kind of hear about how he's preparing for the Paris Olympics, how these are going to be a little bit different than Tokyo, and really just getting to know him better as a person. I can't wait to see what he does in the Olympics this year. Without further ado, my interview with Kenny Bednarik. All right, everybody, I'm joined today by Olympic silver medalist in Tokyo 2020 Olympics. He's a world championship silver medalist, a Diamond League champion, and has 8 Diamond League wins to his name. He's a Wisconsinite from Rice Lake, Wisconsin. He's Kenny Bednarik. Kenny, how's it going?
I'm good. I said I just woke up, been up for about 2 hours and trying to get the day started. And I'm grateful to be on your show.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. What's on your agenda for today? Do you have practice today at all?
No, I had practice yesterday, and then I hopped on a plane to go help out my college coach. He's doing a little camp in Atlanta. So I'm just here for half the day helping him with the camp, and then I'll be back home by tonight.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, so it's exciting. I haven't done one before, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, it's always fun. What age are the kids?
I think they're high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's starting some like recruitment thing, but he wanted to do a camp, and he asked me, I think like a month ago, like, hey, do you want to come and join? I was like, well, it's only like an hour flight away, so yeah, might as well help you out, you know?
Yeah, that's nice.
Get some experience.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I'm a second grade teacher, so that was the reason why I was asking, because working with second graders is a lot different than working with high schoolers.
Yeah. I mean, I've always said I wanted to do a camp back at home, but with just the timing right now, it just doesn't work because, you know, we're headed out to Paris in like I think the end of this week. So it's like the perfect time would be the summer, but that's when everything is, you know, busy for me. And I was like, well, this is close enough for me to come and help and support, the youth a little bit. But eventually I'm trying to be able to go back up home and do something like that with younger kids and then high school kids as well. But we just, got to find the timing for it. What part of w Wisconsin are you from?
So I'm from Hayward, Wisconsin. So
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're good. Yeah, I know where you are.
yeah, I was gonna say we've probably, I mean, I graduated before you, but we definitely play Rice Lake pretty often in sports and stuff.
What year you graduate?
2014.
Oh, yeah.
But I did some student teaching in Rice Lake actually when I was getting done with college and everything. I was in fourth grade with Michelle McDonald and Eric Stojkovic and
Oh,
out
yeah, I
there.
know. I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and then I was up in eighth grade doing like some English as well. So
Were you always trying to be a teacher?
yeah, that was kind of my goal once I got done with high
Yeah.
school was to go on to be a teacher. And yeah, I've been teaching second grade now for 5 years. So
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Well, I appreciate it.
yeah, it's been pretty fun. You talked about you guys head to Paris here towards the end of the week. With this being your second Olympics appearance, how do you feel going into the Paris Olympics versus the Tokyo Olympics?
I'm feeling very confident. I'm just excited. I mean, Tokyo, it was just a whole different experience. I mean, it was the Olympics, but with COVID around, it kind of made everything more stressful because you
Well,
had
I
to
could
take a test
imagine.
every morning. And by yeah, so it was like you take a test in the morning, then by 12 you're like, okay, am I negative or positive? So yeah, it just kind of you just felt on edge every single time you woke up in the morning because you're like, yeah, I've been training for 4 years to do this, and it literally could be taken away just from, getting a positive or a negative test. But yeah, just I'm excited because I made it for the 100 and the 2. My second go around to show the world my talent to represent the US. And yeah, just the most important thing that I'm excited about is just having the fans and actually having that experience of the actual Olympics. I didn't get the opportunity to be in the opening ceremony or the closing ceremony. And yeah, I mean, that's what I'm really excited for, just the fans and just being in the culture.
Yeah, definitely to like be able to feed off that energy and everything. It's
Yeah.
like, yeah, got to be a night and day difference between the two.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I keep telling everybody is like, we're in the finals. Oh, so somebody's called knocking on the door. So we were in the finals. It's, biggest race of your life. And it's like, okay, nobody's here to watch it. It doesn't really feel like that. But yeah, that's definitely what I'm most excited about this year. Just to have that experience.
Yeah, definitely. And how does it feel to compete in both the 100 meter and the 200 meter dash?
It's nice, honestly.
Yeah.
Everybody's known me as a 200 meter guy, but I've always known that I had the 100 meter speed in me. It's just I got edged out in the Tokyo trials by Fred last time, and then the other 2 years it was me dealing with some injuries, so I wasn't at my best. But this year I've been very healthy, and I've always told people healthy Kenny is a dangerous Kenny, and my results are, showing that. So just to, I don't know, like before, when I made the team, it was like, okay, like what's next? And then once I kind of let everything settle in, I'm like, dang, like I'm actually going to represent the US in the 100 meters. I always remember watching, Justin Gatlin or Tyson Gay or whoever else in the previous Olympics. And I'm like, yeah, this is really a big deal. Like it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, and I got to make the best of it. So I'm excited because I already know that the 200, that's my baby. So I'm gonna get another PR. Goal is to go in there and get gold. But for the 100, it's kind of the same mentality. Like, let's go out and have fun and show off my talent.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's got to be a really surreal feeling to make it in the
Yeah.
100 as well. That's awesome.
The 100's always a little bit easier for me because I've always when I was in high school, middle school, I was more a 400, 200 guy. So coming down to the 100 is more so like a warm up for me. But now that I finally have that foot speed, and I'm finally like learning how to actually be a 100 meter sprinter, like it's gonna be exciting to show everybody what I got Paris. Like I definitely got a lot more in the tank. So my goal, I said it would probably take like a 9.7 to win, and that's what the mentality I'm going in with.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a good mindset to have. And it's nice to like, yeah, going from a 200 to a 100, you're like shortening the distance, so less ground to cover
Yeah,
in.
exactly. Yeah.
So you're a self-proclaimed quiet warrior, hence the Kung Fu Kenny nickname and
Yeah.
everything. So why do you choose that mindset over being like loud or boastful or things like that?
I think just because I grew up in Wisconsin, I've always been quiet, and hardworking. So I've always been the type of person to let my actions do the talking. So let my feet do the talking. And once I do that, everybody else is going to pretty much talk for me. Like, I don't have to do all that boastful, like, hey, I'm here, like, this is mine, all that stuff. And it's just not who I am. I've always just been just a quiet guy. I think I'm a little bit more open now, but yeah, just try to stay to myself and not turn myself into something that I'm not, you know. I want to be me every single time I'm on and off the track, and that's why, you know, the quiet assassin, as everybody says, show up, do my work, and then I'm like, all right, I'll see you next time.
Yep, that's your Midwest nice coming out there.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So you said you competed in both middle school and high school track and things like that. When did you realize you had a gift for being like a track athlete? Like, when was it something that you really were like, oh, I really think I can pursue this and make something of it?
I feel like it was probably my freshman sophomore year. I mean, when I was in middle school, it was just like me having fun, and it was kind of the same thing with me my freshman year. But then once my coach Seceda, the high school coach at the time, he decided, like, let's do the Junior Olympics. So that's when we started traveling across the U.S. and competing against, you know, other kids from different states. And I mean, I got my butt whooped, but that was also good because it was like, hey, this kind of shows me that I'm not the best and I want to be the best. So the next years after that, it just got better and better and better. And once I started hitting times and being ranked in the top 10 of US for high school kids, that's when it was kind of like, okay, like, you know, this is a big deal. And I wasn't really thinking about, like, okay, I'm gonna go pro or something like that eventually, because that wasn't a thought. It was more so for me, like, how can I get better every single time? And then once that came up saying, hey, you can go pro, when I was in college, I was like, oh, okay, well, we can do that. So let's go ahead and do it. But that's always been my thing, is I just always want to improve on my time every single time I step on the track and just have fun.
Yeah, and were the Olympics always like a goal that you had set for yourself?
Yeah, so when I was in, like, middle school, and just watching it, the Olympics, every single time that it came up, it was like, you know, that's going to be me one day. But, you know, kids always have their dreams, and, you know, sometimes it doesn't come true every now and then. But yeah, once I went to college and I started hitting world leads and all that, I remember my college coach asked me, he's like, well, what are your goals for this season? I was like, well, I want to be in the Olympics. So that's when I was truly like, hey, I can get there, and this is the time to get the job done. So yeah, like, it was a goal of mine, and I'm happy to be here and accomplish it. And nobody really has that opportunity. It's hard to have the opportunity to become a double time Olympian, because, you know, the US is the hardest team to make. I mean, if you were watching trials in itself, you got guys in the 200 that are riding 1990s and they're not making the team, and that's how hard it is. So yeah, I'm just, you know, that's just the hard work I put in. And yeah, it's just great to be Olympian.
Yeah, definitely. And what does it mean to you to not only like represent the United States at the Olympics, but also the state of Wisconsin and then your hometown of Rice Lake, Wisconsin?
It means a lot. It means a lot to represent the U.S., but it means a lot more from where I'm from, you know, Wisconsin and Rice Lake. Just coming out of there, you know, I don't know the population now, but I remember, like, 8,000 plus people. I mean, pretty small town. And just to be able to, you know, grow up there and come out of there and be one of the best in the world and be able to just represent and shine bright for my country in Rice Lake, it just means the world to me. You know, it's not when I'm always represented the US and myself at the global level, even when it comes to, like, world champs, I've always known to say, hey, it's like, it's not just about me, it's about everybody else that's helped me get to this point. So yeah, every single time I go out there, it's just, want to shine bright and do my thing.
Yeah, the community really rallies behind you too. I think like I have an uncle that lives in Cameron, and whenever I kind of drive over that way, it's like, yeah, I think people are already starting to get yard signs put together for it and everything like that, man.
Oh,
So
yeah,
they'll definitely be sending the support your way.
I appreciate the support.
Do you make it back to Wisconsin often?
Yeah, so I try to make it back every single off season. I usually try to spend at least 4 days. But during I when I when I first became a pro, I was coming home like every other month, and then once I started being down here year two, year three, it got less and less. But yeah, I always try to make it a point to go back home and just celebrate with my mom, family, and then the community. And that's what we were planning on doing this off season. I don't remember if I think I was there last year. But yeah, like I always try to make it a point to go back home and just see friends, family, and yeah, just go back home and chill.
Is there anything like when you're away from Wisconsin, is there something that you miss?
Yeah, I think people might think it's weird, but I actually miss snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss snow a lot. I don't know why. And we have a husky down in Florida, so I think it was 2 years ago we actually ended up bringing him up there because I was like, well, I want to see how he reacts, and he was kind of like, what is
Yeah.
this? But that's one thing I miss is just that, and then it's just quiet up back at home. Living in Florida, it's just there's so much going on, so much noise. I live in Claremont, Florida, and I remember the first time I moved down there, I was like, wow, like it's so big. And then people are like, this is not even big. Where are you from? I was like, well, this is big to me. It's a lot. So I just miss that, just open space and just quiet, more nature, because you got grass everywhere. Here in Florida, it's literally just buildings everywhere. But that's the one thing I miss, you know.
Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of people like overlook about Wisconsin is just I mean, it might be mostly rural areas, but just the peace you can find in that and
Yeah,
just being
exactly.
able to go on like a walk or head to the lake or something like that is just
Yeah.
really a lot of people find value in that. So
Yeah.
it's nice that you're able to enjoy that once you come back.
Yeah, for sure. I said I want to get a house up there sooner or later as a base. I mean, I bought my mom a house up there. So that's a base right now, but I might want to get a house somewhere else and like kind of be like a getaway, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so.
So is that peacefulness and quietness something that you enjoyed the most about growing up in Wisconsin, or is there other things that you enjoyed?
I would say that, but also just activities. You got snowmobiling, skiing. I like to do a lot outdoor activities, like water skiing and all that. Like, count me in. That's the one thing I really do miss is just doing all that. I mean, I can do it. I can do some of the stuff in Florida, but honestly, it's too damn hot.
Yeah,
It's
definitely.
way too hot in Florida right now. It's like 90, 91 degrees. Feels like 103 with the humidity. So half the time I don't really want to be outside, but
It's
yeah,
been
that's
like that
just the
up here
one
in
thing.
Wisconsin this week too, man.
Oh, for real?
It's been pretty hot. Like, well,
Oh.
86, with the humidity is that's what gets me
Yeah.
here.
I feel like I probably love what's going on up there because Florida right now it feels like Death Valley.
Okay, yeah, it's an elevated level out there.
Yeah. But yeah, just miss doing all that and just being with family and friends and just roasting marshmallows and all that. Just chilling, talking about whatever. That's the one thing. I mean, just the conversations and the peace.
Yeah. All right. I mean, growing up in Wisconsin, are you a Packers fan then, or do you follow a
Yeah,
different team?
I could see this number 17 right there, if I'm mistaken. Is that
Yep,
Devontae
that's
Adams or?
Devontae Adams.
Yeah, I'm definitely a Packers fan. I've always been since I was younger because my mom, when we were living in Oklahoma at the time, she was a Packer fan then and she's still a Packer fan now. So yeah, it wasn't Aaron Rodgers I trust, but now it's in Jordan Love I trust.
Yes.
And we'll see how we do this year. But yeah, I'm a diehard Packer fan. I mean, I watch the draft every single time, and I used to tweet or post on my story on Instagram about what they were doing. I was like, come on, man, like what are they doing?
Yep.
Yes. I think it was the year when I forgot what year it was, but it was when people were saying Aaron Rodgers just needs a number one receiver and we didn't draft one. And I was like, bro, like all you had to do was draft a receiver,
You have
just
one
one. And they,
job.
yeah. So, yeah, I've always been a Packer fan. And last year, I mean, it was a big surprise. I don't think it was a big surprise. Like for me, I came in, I was like, okay, you got a new quarterback. Jordan Love is going to have to show off his talents and all that. And it might be a little bit rough in the beginning. So when he was good in the first two games and then started having that long stretch of him kind of playing like mediocre, I was like, I'm not worried. Like it's his first year, so he's getting his feet wet. And then he started balling out. I was like, see, like that's all you just need some time, you know? A lot of people are quick to like, man, he sucks. Let's get a new quarterback. I'm like, nah, you gotta let people develop and just, you know, get comfortable in the situation and then they can finally bloom, you know?
Yeah, it's
But
it was
yeah.
really special to watch him grow along with that young team last year. I mean, having the youngest team in the NFL and seeing all like their receiving core come together and not having like a true number one, but like them rallying behind each other was super awesome. And I'm excited to see how they build off that this
Oh
year.
yeah, for sure. I've joked around with my coach. I said, hey, you know, I accomplished all my goals. You know, I'll still be fast at 30. Let me see if I can get on the roster.
Yeah, definitely.
That's always been something I've joked around because I was like, oh, well, they need a receiver, you know, just throw some deep bombs to me.
Yeah, well, because I mean, you played football in high school, right? So you got some
Yeah,
carryover.
exactly. It's like on, you know, I still remember how to catch. I just gotta, you know, learn how to do the route system and work on agility and all that stuff, and you know, I should be good.
Yeah, definitely. So when it's all said and done, Kenny, is there something you hope people remember you for?
I want to be remembered as, I guess, the best that ever do it, and I want to be remembered for what I did on the track and off the track. You know, just leave a good impact for the next generation. And I mean, that's pretty much it. Just it. Like, just a good legacy behind, and you know, that's all I can ask for. I'd be a happy man with that.
And what's a piece of advice you'd give to young track athletes hoping to make it to the Olympics someday like you?
Just tell them to dream big and make sure to just listen to their coaches. I mean, to get to this level, it's going to take a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication. So, yeah, you know, you can have fun, but not too much. Find a good balance of being disciplined, and then if you just do that, then you'll get the job done. Like any goals are always attainable, and that's it. Or just have fun. I mean, that's the most important. I would say that's the most important thing is having fun. Because even people at this level, if you're not having fun, they're gonna just burn out. And for me, I've always made like track and field has been fun for me, but I see the main thing is once money gets involved, then that's when people start getting more stressed and they feel like they got to do too much. And I was always like, well, I'm gonna make sure to have fun every single year because if I have fun, then I'm gonna perform at my best. And then, you know, money's going to come anyways if I perform at my best.
Definitely. And I think you really live up to having fun and things like that, just watching like your Instagram and things like that. Some of the mic'd up things that you've had or the like track, I wouldn't necessarily say like skits, but like those reels that you make to go along with it.
We started doing some of the mic'd up stuff, and I actually like doing that because it's not staged, and I love things that are more organic.
Right.
So I think USATF had me on one of their skits on their mic'd up things when I was at trials, and when I was watching, I was like, oh, I forgot I said that. Like, this is actually kind of funny. So I think I should do a lot more of those,
Yeah,
you know, because
definitely.
you can hear and think, and you can see and hear what I'm thinking about, and everything is just raw, and I think a lot of people will enjoy that.
Yeah, I think one of the things that stuck out to me was you were talking about like gluten-free Oreos or something like that. You're like, yeah.
That's what I was saying. I forgot what I said, and then when I watched it, I was like, "Oh yeah, that's funny." Because
Yeah.
I did. I was saying that. I was like, "Yeah, gluten-free Oreos is like crack for me."
Yeah.
But I said, "Let's see if we can get that sponsorship this year." But yeah, that was pretty funny.
Would you add it to the
Oh
headband?
heck yeah! Put a
Yeah.
little symbol right next to the headband.
You heard him here first, Oreo. Reach out, make
Yeah,
it happen.
sponsor me.
Yes. And also it's been fun to watch like your YouTube channel as well. When did you decide that you wanted to put like a production team together to kind of promote like the Road to Gold videos is what you call it, right?
Yeah, I think after 2021, when I got the silver medal, that's pretty much when we started. And it was a little too late, but I mean, better late than never. But yeah, once I got the medal, people were like, well, who is he? They didn't know who I was because, you know, I've always been the type that's quiet and not showing off like who I am. And we wanted to change that just because, you know, I know a lot of people, they see the end result. But we want to have them have the insight of seeing what it takes to get to that level, you know, all the hard work I put in and also just to get to know like who I am as a person, because I mean, like, all the shoe companies have a lot of athletes, and some athletes are showing off more than others, and you just want to help grow the sport, and by doing that is showing the people exactly who they're dealing with and what they're watching. And yeah, I mean, over the last few years, I would say the first year it was difficult for me to do some of the stuff because I wasn't used to it, but then now I've gotten used to it and we're having a lot of fun with it. And yeah, I think we've been doing a good job. My team has been helping me out a lot, and a lot of people have been saying we've been doing a lot of good things, and that's all I need to hear. So keep at it. You'll see my story. Who is Kenny Benarek? Where I'm from? All that. Like, we're just gonna show them everything.
Yeah, it's been great to follow and kind of get to know you better as a not only as an athlete but as a person too through that. So I think that's a good resource for people to tap into to get to know you better. So yeah, that's been great to see that.
I appreciate it.
All right, before we let you go here, you're a speed guy, so we're gonna have some fast facts here with Kenny.
All right.
Sorry, excuse the teacher pun there. All right, what's your favorite video game?
Ooh, I like Gears of War.
Gears of War.
Have you played that?
Nice. I've played it.
Okay, yeah. So Gears of War was my favorite series. But yeah, I would say that right now it's that.
Okay, I like it. What's your favorite snack after practice?
Ooh, what is that? I forgot what it's called. I'm gonna say gluten-free Oreos.
There we go. What's one thing you wish you knew more about?
More about like now or just like when I was younger?
More about now. Like if there's one thing that you wish you knew more about.
I think I just wish knowing more about, shoot, I guess what's really in the ocean. The place is a dark place.
Oh,
you know, what are they not telling us? I don't know. I mean, I would say pretty much that.
Mm-hmm. Is the, what is it, Megalodon?
Yeah.
Is that real?
Oh, I don't know, man. I said I could see it being real, but we don't know. That's why I wish I would know.
Right. Yeah. That's why you want to get to the bottom of it. Makes sense. All right. Where's your favorite place that you've traveled to?
I like Qatar, Doha. I've been there like 3 or 4 years, and I said that place is like it's like Miami times 10 but cleaner. Just they have oil money out there, and it's like so much, like the buildings and everything is just out of this world. But yeah, I love going there every single year. The food is great. The only thing that sucks is that it's in the middle of a desert. So it's very hot, but yeah, every time I go there, I have fun and run fast times.
And the last question I have for you is, so you talked about how you enjoy some downhill skiing in the off season.
Mm-hmm.
Would you ever consider taking up cross country skiing and doing the American Birkebeiner in Hayward?
How long is that?
It's like, well, it depends if you're doing classic skiing or skate skiing, but it's like a 55K or 50K. It's the longest cross country ski race in North America.
Yeah, I'll do it once. I should be on my bucket list, honestly. Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
All right, Berkey, we're getting Kenny there.
Yeah, I'll be there. I can't do it alone, though. I need somebody there.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I'm definitely down for that. That'll be fun.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming on again, man. And just know that we're all rooting for you here in Wisconsin and the United States in general, and wish you the best of luck in Paris.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast. Feel free to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on Apple Music and Spotify Music so you know when our latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast is coming out. That about does it for us, so continue to be kind to one another, and we'll see you around town.